Johanna Thomas Zapata is awesome. She has a smile that lights up the room, and she's a dynamic individual who previously won the College of Education's 3-minute thesis. She's a Fulbright scholar from Honduras, and pretty soon she won't be a doctoral student because she'll be a doctor and will leave WSU and embark on what we anticipate will be a very successful career. We chat with Johanna about her time at WSU, a recent scholarship she received, and what the future has in store for her. Education Eclipse starts now.
Education news and research. These are the conversations happening inside athletic training, kinesiology, sport management, and teacher education that will help transform each. It's the Education Eclipse podcast from Washington State University.
Super excited to be back on Education Eclipse with Johanna Thomas Zapata. She is our friend from Honduras. She is a Fulbright scholar, and I have egg on my face because I thought you arrived here to WSU 2 years ago, and you reminded me it was 2020.
That's fair. That's fair, though. 2020 was COVID, then we were hybrid. You know, 2022 was my real first year in person.
So maybe that's when I met you. Maybe that's why I feel like you showed up in 2022.
Right.
But you've been here a while. You are in the Math and Science Education program. You are a doctoral student. And again, first of all, Fulbright scholar, so I'm not worthy. I feel like I'm here with a very smart, very capable person. There's a very capable, smart person in this conversation, and then there's me. So, hey, I just want to share a quote that you have because you are an international student from Honduras. It says, "As an internet," this is your quote, by the way, on your profile page here at the College of Education. It says, "As an international student in the program, I feel welcome and supported. Students and faculty make sure that I have the resources I need to complete my degree and develop all the skills to succeed in my future academic career." So I got that quote from you when we built your profile page in 2022, when I first met you. Do you still feel that that's the case? Do you still feel welcome and supported here? In what ways do you feel like this is true?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thank you for having me. Muchas gracias. And yeah, this program has been just amazing. When I say program, it's just faculty, my friends that before were my classmates, now all of them are my friends. We have built a very beautiful community. The support system in this program is amazing. We have books, resources for research, faculty that are just amazing. I always brag about my advisor, the chair of my committee, Dr. Amy Roth McDuff, and she is great, amazing. And with her career plus 25 years, I just noticed how selfish she is, just to teach me everything she knows, being part of a project, and that definitely set me for success in my career. So yeah, it's still on.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate, you talked about Amy being selfless. I have absolutely seen the same thing out of her, including when she was an associate dean for research, as a faculty member. She is a person who gives. She's definitely what I would call a servant leader. She just wants to make other people better. I know you don't brag on yourself a whole lot. You took the opportunity to give credit to Dr. Roth McDuffie, but you have had a lot of successes yourself. And just so you know, Amy is the one who brags about you all the time. So I get emails. In fact, I couldn't find one of the emails. She sends so darn many saying, "Oh, Johanna did this and then this and then this." I was just going back in time and looking at some of the stuff that you had. You had been awarded. You were awarded a travel scholarship to the Annual Association of Mathematics Teacher Educators back in 2022. And I guess you went in 2022 in Nevada. So you got to do that. You've won scholarships. You won the Huey Rogers Scholarship, which is, you know, it's no small amount of money. Like, everything is important when you're a doctoral student. You also were awarded some award amount or stipend or something for some of your research that you're doing, which includes travel to Spokane. I'd love to ask actually a little bit more about that, because that was kind of neat to find out that you were doing stuff in in Spokane for your research. But the reason, like this time, the reason I'm having you come on is because you were just awarded as part of our Martin Luther King Jr. Day festivities that we do at WCU. It's actually a whole week worth of stuff. And Thursday night of that week, so just this last week, you were awarded one of the MLK Spirit Awards. And these are generally for, you know, work in inclusion, equity, diversity type issues. So talk to me about that. How did you find out first that you had won this award? And obviously, I'm sure you felt very honored. But talk to me about what that award specifically was for.
Yeah, it was definitely an honor. And as I was saying before, the beautiful community that we have in this program, 2 years ago in 2022, again, I nominated James Asari, his friend, colleague. And so I saw his work and happily agreed to nominate him. And then since then, I've been following these awards. And definitely, I didn't think that I was in the best position to apply. And last year, I was like, well, should I ask friends to nominate me? Because that's how it works. We ask each other, oh, this award, you should nominate me. And what do you think about this one? So we talk about the awards at the university. And many thought that I should be nominated for this one. And then, well, I say yes. And I didn't know so many people like Dr. Amin Gilmore, my friend Patrick, Odiambo classmate, also James Asari, Dr. Melissa Graham that was in my program and graduated in 2021. And then we have been working together, and she's at Eastern Washington University, and she also nominated me as a WSU alumni. As part of the nomination, they should write a letter, our maximum 1,000 words letter, and then also supporting documents like some of them asking me for an article that I wrote from my work in Honduras that I usually do when I go visit my parents for the summer, and also the work I do at WSU in the international program, because I'm an international peer mentor, and I know that every single semester, just like me back in 2020, many students are coming to WSU, new place, no friends, and so I am part of that community. We do airport pickups. We are with those big banners saying welcome to the WSU in every single flight that gets to Pullman. So all of that work that I've been doing, kind of my friends saw it, friends and professors, and nominated me, and that's how I got the Community Equity and Inclusion and Social Justice MLK Award.
I think that's amazing. I think this probably would be something that resonates with you. I was just talking to Emily Dean today about a student teacher that's doing some stuff internationally, and it's a foreign language, and she's struggling quite a bit, and Emily reminded the student that even though there are a lot of struggles right now, this will make her a better teacher in the future, because she's going to be able to understand a lot of students that come to the United States that English might be their second language. Absolutely. as obviously it is for you. And she will be able to have more compassion and empathy for those students and the struggles that they are having, not only just with the language, but then trying to learn the content in another language. It's hard enough to learn the content in your first language, but now trying to do it in a second language, there is an inherent disadvantage. And sometimes you just need that person to understand. And so that was a really good reminder. So, I mean, for you, you've been here now for, you know, 3.5-4 years. But have you noticed that there's certainly a difference for you to be able to do things now than 4 years ago? I mean, how hard was that when you came to the United States? And obviously you had some exposure before that with English. You did your graduate studies in Ireland. So, you know, that was really, you're a world traveler, by the way. You went to Ireland, you did your bachelor's in Honduras and all that, but you're a world traveler. But how hard was that to really assimilate and to learn in a totally different language?
Yeah, definitely. Since my first time being just in a English-speaking country, that was Ireland, the accent was different. So definitely, I struggle for months, if not years, to get used to their culture. But as you said, I'm a traveler, so one of the things that I've learned is to embrace even that struggle to be the other. But then I've been lucky enough to go to places where people are really friendly and welcoming, even Pullman. When I just came, I'm more than sure that was because of COVID, but as soon as I started to have a social life, to go places, to visit campus, to be here, to see people, I just feel really good to be in this community, to be part of WSU, to live in Pullman, because before I've come to the US to visit extended family in the East Coast. So that was my first time coming to the West Coast, doing that 5-hour flight from Florida to Seattle. I was like, where am I going? So it is different. But I like it now. I'm so used to it.
But and that makes you obviously at the point of all of that was now you are more equipped to help other people. You can show up regardless of the language. You can show up at the airport with that big banner that says, "Welcome to the middle of a wheat field. You're here, and we're glad you're here." Everybody just needs a friend. You know, they need a friend when they show up, and that struggle is really, really hard. Aside from the friendships that you've made, I think you're still a teaching assistant as well. I mean, what kind of opportunities have you had within your program, within the additional opportunities you've had at WSU to be able to interact with people and help others, just to feel comfortable and to have success in their own studies?
As I said, the program is one. The international program office is also another place where I have a community. I have worked there. My students, they are just amazing. For those who don't know, I'm a teacher assistant, and then I teach the math methods course for pre-service teachers. My students will be elementary teachers in, I don't know, like a year after they have taken my class. And we learn how to teach math meaningfully. What is this number sense when we teach decimals and fractions and everything related to K to fifth grade math is what I teach. So I always tell my students, you know, I'm here, I'm your instructor, but I'm actually here to learn from you. I'm definitely equipped to talk about math and education. That's why I'm here. But you have a lot to show me, to tell me. You know what you're doing here. So just working on that confidence, because still there is that fear when I say the word math. And my students are like, oh my gosh, what are we doing in this class? So I work the first weeks in building this sense of for my students to feel comfortable in my classroom, to feel good just making mistakes and knowing that we are there to learn, even myself. So it has been amazing to be an instructor for almost 2 years now.
So, in addition to being an instructor, you obviously have your own research that you have to do. Within your doctoral program. But have you done prelims yet?
Prelims and the one.
Okay, you've done that.
Yes,
Okay, so
done.
you're doctoral candidate then.
I'm candidate, yes.
All right, so you have a little more focus now on your research. Talk about your research, what it is, because when you first came in, I know you wanted to create and improve innovative ideas for math education and helping teach teachers, I guess, how to teach and so on. But talk about your research. What is the scope of that? What are you trying to do right now within your research?
Yeah, so my research is focused on, I will say, three main things. One is teacher education. The other one is mathematical modeling, and I'll explain that. And the third one is like sociocultural perspectives in mathematics education. So everything started with my master's degree, because I have a master's in applied mathematics, so it's very abstract. But the core is how do we use mathematics to answer questions or solve problems from other disciplines, in biology, in chemistry, in sports, even in what you do, you know, to make decisions. And there is this process called math modeling where you have a problem, like any situation, and then you ask, like, what math do I need to solve this? I don't know. Let's say you are posting something and you're like, I really want viewers for this. And you're like, okay, at what time should I post it? As soon as you ask that question, you need data. Like, you need that data. Like, at what time are people just in internet looking at this? You need numbers. So you say, okay, I need this database to kind of analyze it. And then I will post this at 4 p.m. because I know it will be super impactful. Then you get results from that and say, oh, this worked or this didn't work. And that's like the testing part, right? And then you say, if it works, you kind of improve, you move on and say, okay, we can continue with this. And if it doesn't, you polish whatever you did and say, okay, let's do it again. So math modeling is a cycle, it's a process where you use mathematics to solve problems, and it does not have to be like specifically in mathematics. So in my thesis for my master's, I did a project in biology, and I don't know much about biology, but they needed a mathematicians to say, how are the interactions and proteins in the cell? Imagine that this is a sphere, and here we have this and that. So we did it. So basically, math modeling had been researched in college levels, but it is a math practice. So I am researching how teachers do the math modeling process in elementary school, so specifically in fifth grade, and how they use the curriculum materials to do these math cycles. But at the same time, I am investigating how they incorporate students' culture, language, and lived experiences to make math more meaningful when they present this problem. And that's the sociocultural perspective. So I'm working with two fifth grade teachers in a one-on-one professional development. I'm in the classroom, I'm observing classes, I'm interacting with students, I'm taking notes, and I am just having fun with them and doing research.
I'm not sure if it was fun or scary, but you talked about the beauty of mathematical modeling last year for the 3-minute thesis.
Yeah.
You did compete with the college group, and you won the college event, so then you got to go to an even scarier competition, do the whole university one. And people did very, very well at the university. There were very few points that separated the top from the second to last. I don't know if that's too much tea to spill. The last place was way down for whatever reason.
Yeah.
The judges didn't really have something resonate to them, but the other group was really close. And so you see the person that won, what that score was, and then your score was barely behind. And I'm just trying to get my camera to focus. Right, there we go. I'm not sure anyone wants to actually see my face, but.
Yeah, it was kind of.
Yeah,
weird.
Oh well. This might be better for a lot of people. So so you had to go do that. We did it at the Spark. This year it's actually going to be in a different building, but all these folks were watching as you were talking about the beauty of mathematical modeling, and you won the college event, which gave you a small award amount. And I'm sure it's a thrill because you can put it on your CV and all that. It was a good experience.
Yes.
But talk about that and just the whole process. And here's the thing. There's nothing in the rules that says you can't do it again. So I don't know if you're planning on doing it or
that
just going to
open
it up
scary.
To other people.
That was scary. I will open it up to other people. I just know that it was so scary. You know, it's good to practice public speaking. And again, it was on my list. I'm like, okay, I will do it. I feel like it's a good practice to have my speech in 3 minutes. Even right now that you asked me about my research, I'm like, I've done prelims, I've done my exams, but that just helped me to do it nice and short, sweet. So it was good practice. 3 minutes thesis is something that is just not selling your work in 3 minutes, but you gotta convince the audience and also make it in a way where you need to create a visual that will help your speech and understand your idea. More importantly, for people that are not in your field, and that's challenging. So for me, that was the struggle. It was like, oh, wait, I'm so used to talking to math ed people or science ed people. How do I do this? So I kind of, yeah, it took me some time to write my speech and then practice. You were part of my practice.
Yeah. Well, and you did. I was like, I was so proud of my pupil. You did such a good job out there. But that's the point of 3 minute thesis, is you are not talking to folks that understand necessarily everything that you're talking about. You're talking to what we call a lay audience, right? They're not specialized or experts in that. Like there may be some folks that watched it that understood mathematical modeling, and
yes.
but the majority of which, even if we understood just a few principles of it, we wouldn't necessarily understand really a whole lot of the complex inner workings of your research. And so it is to compile that and do it in a narrative form that anybody can appreciate. Yes, my job is to sell things to others, right? It's an idea, a story, whatever it may be. We're trying to have people be interested in that. And we find that there are a lot of very smart people out there that may not understand the research otherwise. It's not that they're not smart, they're just, that's not their field.
Yes.
And believe it or not, you can gain so much support and sometimes money, right, from people who are willing to donate when they understand what it is that you're doing, when they understand your research and they see the important reason behind why you're doing it, the big why.
Yeah.
And so I at least came away from your 3 minutes. Oh, plus it's in 3 minutes. So if I still don't understand it, I don't have to waste a lot of time. I came away from it going, oh, so that's what that means, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now I understand not only what it is, but why, because your title was The Beauty of Mathematical Modeling, why it's so important. And I thought it was so fantastic. And so obviously the judges did too, because you won. So congratulations again on that.
Thank you.
Talk about the Fulbright, being a Fulbright scholar. I mean, that's impressive alone. I mean, I once was able to make my lunch without any help. You know, I didn't need my mom's help. But like Fulbright scholar, no way. Like there's no way. I can't do it. I can tie my own shoes. But talk about that.
Oh my goodness, Fulbright is an experience. It is an honor, again, to be a Fulbright scholar, Fulbright alumni. And how did I get to Fulbright? Well, I was in Honduras just being a professor working with pre-service math teachers. And I heard about this call, was in 2019. But it's extremely competitive, and it's open to the whole country. It's just like, okay, this is Fulbright, and we are given 3 scholarship, like full scholarship for 2 years, and it just opened. So I remember hearing back from them the year before. It's an 18-month process for starting there. It's just by the time you send your papers, by the time you're taking your flight, 18 months. So I sent my papers and I finally got the scholarship. 2 more ladies, friends, also got the scholarship. One is in Indiana University and I do not remember where my other friend is, but I came to WSU. And something that I really want to say, people say, okay, why Pullman or why Washington State University? Fulbright helped me to apply to 5 universities in the United States by the time I got the scholarship. But they say you gotta be accepted at least in 1 program for you to go. And then I was accepted in 3 of those. And the first person that I talked to was Amy, Dr. Ruth McDuffie, and I say, okay, this is my interest. This is who I am. I was back in Honduras. It was November, and I need someone to endorse my application. And so we talked, and she said, yes, this aligns with what we do. And then, so they asked, okay, you can go to this three, but actually the university that has more funding for research and for you to continue after your 2 years is Washington State University. Mm-hmm. So even though I decided what those five universities were going to be, after being accepted, they do like all the negotiations there. And they say, like, mm-hmm. it's Washington State. That's where research is. That's where money is. That's where funding is. But that's where professors are. And this is a good decision for you. And I was just advised, well advised, to do it. That's how I ended up here in full money.
Well, when you're in the middle of it, though, that we never talk about, this is where the money is. We always like, this is where we have no money. This is where, we're glass half empty people sometimes. There's always more that we could be getting, right? But yeah. I think that's amazing. Let me just ask you this. What part of Honduras are you from?
I'm from La Ceiba.
You're up north. You're by the Caribbean Sea side.
Right. Okay. Yes.
All right. Very cool.
Very cool and very different.
Yeah, very different, right? Yeah. Well, so have you met people from Honduras here at WCU? Other folks from your country?
Two more in 4 years.
I just wondered because it's not like I go around campus and if I see somebody with a Cougs, anything on like they're wearing, it's not like we go up and hug each other. But if I'm on the other side of the country or in another country and somebody's wearing Cougs, it's like you have an instant best friend. And I just wonder, like, it's not like you just go up to them and start hugging people in Honduras, but now they're the only one, like they're your country person. Yes. Right here in Pullman. Yeah. If you immediately have a bond or something, because it's just different,
Oh, yeah. That's one of the benefits of being in the international program, because that's exactly where I meet these people. I'm there in the orientation, and it's from the whole day. So we get to meet new students and their nationalities, where they're from and stuff. And they were like, oh, you don't look Honduran because I'm from the South. They are from a different, they're not from La Ceiba. And I'm like, yeah, right. But and I'm part of a Black indigenous community in Honduras, and we are a minority. So many of Honduras in general, the other 95% of the population, they're not much about us, surprisingly. So I'm like, yeah, I'm here and I'm from Honduras and I'm from La Ceiba. And we just bond. And I'm like, can you speak just Spanish, but with our accent? And it's just so good to hear. It doesn't click. I'm in Pullman and we are speaking like Hondurans.
Oh, man. Yeah. That is absolutely fantastic. I have a good friend who just went down to your neighbors to the south, to Nicaragua. And He was on the east side of Nicaragua, so he was on the Caribbean Sea side. He said he absolutely loved it. He just loved being there. And when he was there, the weather was great, he said. And of course, it's snowing here and cold and whatever. So, hey, one of the things that I do on social media with the College of Ed is we do these theme days, right, where we introduce people to students. And we always and actually we've started with alumni as well, but we ask them their favorite things, right? So I'd love to just I'm gonna fire off some stuff to you and ask, let's get to know you a little bit. So what's your favorite book? Do you have a favorite book?
Yes, The Alchemist, Paulo Coelho.
Okay. Do you have a favorite movie?
No.
Okay. We don't have time for movies anyway.
Yeah.
What about favorite TV show?
TV show? Family Feud.
Oh my gosh, what?
I love Family Feud.
Oh, geez, that's funny. Okay, favorite band or musician?
Musician, Mark Anthony.
I love Mark Anthony. Okay, love it. We're friends.
Yeah.
What about a favorite song?
Favorite song. It has to be something. Flor Pálida, Marc Anthony.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's your favorite canción.
Mi canción favorita.
Do you have a favorite hobby? I know you don't have any time, but is there something you like to do? Pasatiempo.
Mi pasatiempo is dancing. I am a, I dance. I actually go to Moscow to dance, and the salsa bachata community in the Palouse, we are trying to, you know, like to revive this group and dance every Wednesday and Saturday, but we are there.
What? I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, it's called Salsa in the Palouse. Go to Facebook.
Yeah, now I kind of want to go see. I want to go see it.
Yeah.
That is incredible. I know just about everything going on the Palouse, and I did not know that. So.
And in the summer, we do it salsa in the park, and we dance in the park in Moscow. Outdoors.
Do you think it would be easy enough for a fat guy like me to be able to learn how to dance salsa?
No, it's not going. I mean, what was it? Is it going to be
you
what?
You think I'd be able to learn?
Oh, you will be able to learn.
You think
yes.
so?
Yes.
Okay,
absolutely.
I don't move. Like, I can't move my hips or anything very well. So
it's super easy, you know, basic 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we go to 8, 1, easy.
Okay. Let me see. What is, cause again, you've traveled a lot. What is the favorite place like that you've ever been to on a vacation or whatever? Like, what's the favorite place that you've ever visited that you just really loved it?
Oh, it's Formentera in Spain.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Isla Baleares in España.
Amazing. And then last question. What is kind of your dream vacation spot? Somewhere you haven't been that you've always kind of wanted to go to it?
Isla Santorini in Greece. Santorini Island in Greece.
In Greece. Amazing. Oof, hey, by the way, I just did my ancestry DNA, and I knew that on my dad's side, his mom was from Romania, and, you know, grandpa, great grandpa, they were all from Romania. And as it turns out, I only have 9% Romanian, which is a lot less than I grew up thinking. And I have way more Greek and Albanian, actually. So Greek came out to be like 35% or something in my DNA, at least.
That's
so
amazing.
That tells me that a lot of my Romanian family also came probably from Greece.
From Greece.
Right,
there you
exactly.
go. So, that's so interesting.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that to me was interesting.
Are you
was,
planning to go? Someday?
Well, I've been learning Romanian for a long time, and my uncle has gone multiple times. My dad has never gone, and we do have family in Romania. My sister actually married a really good guy named Paolo. Anyway, he was born in Romania and then moved when he was young to the United States. So he's a great resource for me to learn Romanian because he still speaks to his parents, who also live here in the United States now. I had a boss once from Romania. She escaped years ago.
Yeah.
Like she said, she was leaving communist regime, and she was a great resource. So I've spent years like learning quite a bit of Romanian. My brother and I are both like, you know, before dad, you know, gets too old, we should take him to Romania. Like that's kind of the family homestead on his side. And anyway, so I may end up going to visit since I've been learning it, but. Now I'm kind of interested in Greece a little bit, so
there you go.
Don't get mad at me if I visit your dream vacation spot before you do.
Okay, well, that can be my graduation gift or something, so I hope my family see this and friends. And
that's right. That's right. Hey, if you want a good gift idea for Johanna, there it is.
There
just
it is.
The all expenses paid trip. well, let me ask you this before we end this. Is there anything you would like to add, just something that's on your heart and mind that you just want to share?
Well, the audience that will see hear this podcast, if there's anyone that's planning to come to this university or grad school or this program, I'm just going to say just come. And one thing that I didn't know how I was going to work was, oh, how about me after the 2 years? What am I going to do? And as you said, maybe We don't have a lot of money, but there are resources for you to work or be a TA or be an RA or be a grad assistant. So there are opportunities that come up as you work, as you are part of the university, and we have all the tools and resources to succeed. So I just wanted to say that.
All right, Johanna Thomas Zapata. One of my favorite people at WCU, and I'm not just saying that because the camera's live. Yeah, sure, you have to say that. No, I don't. I don't have to say it. I choose to say it. I've always just loved your demeanor, your countenance, your friendliness since you've been here. Well, not since you've been here, since I met you in 2022.
Yes.
You've just been a joy to have here in Cleveland Hall, and I appreciate you joining me on Education Eclipse.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Education Eclipse, a College of Education podcast from Washington State University.